it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure the season opener for the Minnesota Wild could have gone any better Thursday in St. Louis. A 5-0 drubbing of the Blues. You couldn't have painted a better picture. They turned the page. Home opener tonight in St. Paul. And fans, if you're coming from the West Metro, leave early. There's major construction at I-94. So if you're headed from the West toward downtown St. Paul, good luck. Jez Myers joins us from the Pioneer Press. Jez, always good to visit with you.
Thank you, Steve. And yeah, you're right. It's a beautiful, sunny fall day, and the Wild are undefeated, coming home for game one. So yeah, what's not to like? And kind of a cool thing today, 25th anniversary season. You know, it was 2000 when they played their first game, that 3-3 tie with the Flyers way back in the day. Well, today at Morning Skate, lo and behold, there's Doug Risebrough, their first general manager. There's Jacques Lemaire, their first head coach. There's Mario Tremblay, their first assistant coach. Bringing back some of kind of the Wild legends, if you will, from that first year, bringing them back to St. Paul tonight to honor them and kind of thank them for getting this franchise off the ground 25 years ago. So, cool celebration. Now, with that said, I was in St. Louis two nights ago, saw the cool celebration for opening day there. You know, they introduced the whole team, gala stuff, you know, parades, blah, 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 blah. And then the Wild come in and just give them nothing to cheer about. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, that's kind of the way sometimes these things go. The road team kind of has the advantage on a big night like this because all they need to do is show up and play hockey. They don't need to worry about any of the parades and the galas and the music and the introductions and all of that. So you wonder how the Wild are going to be ready to go after all of the fireworks, literal and figurative, are over and they actually drop the puck on this one.
Yeah, isn't there a green carpet, if you will, that they walk ahead of the opener today and all that sort of thing?
All that sort of thing. And then, you know, a couple of new things. Number one, I mentioned the 25th anniversary. Number two, officially the first regular season game at what we're now calling Grand Casino Arena. And John Hines said it today for the first time. He said he almost slipped up. He almost said the X. But no, he said, we're looking forward to see what the crowd is like at the GCA today. So he's calling it by the initials already. He's getting used to the new name. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still sticking with the arena formerly known as the X.
That would take up some column inches in my business. I don't know if I'll be able to use that.
That's true. I kind of like the ring to it, you know, because you go back, the late great Prince at one, you know, was the artist formerly known as Prince. So I like the ring, the local ties to the thing. Back to the opener for a moment. At the top, I said it couldn't have gone better. Is that about right? 5-0 shutout on the road, division rival. That's pretty good.
You know, it seemed like last year all we talked about was injuries. And, you know, some things don't change. We're dealing with injuries right now. Matt Zuccarello is out for, you know, we're thinking at least another month, maybe more. And then Nico Sturm, who they went and got in the offseason, turns out on day one he wasn't ready to go. They're talking about a long-term injury for him as well. Mm. So we went into that first game thinking, oh, boy, here we go again. You know, they're going to put Hunter Haight making his debut on that fourth line at center. They're putting in, you know, some young guys on defense, you know, all of these areas. Well, all of it turned out fine, and now we get some good news for the home opener. After missing the first game, Jonas Brodin is going to be back in the lineup tonight as well. So a little more experience on defense. That means they're probably sitting down David Juracek, who's, you know, got so many tools and so much potential and just hasn't been able to put them together quite yet. But they're certainly not giving up on him, but it looks like they're going to sit him down tonight. Hunter Haight will play again his second career game, and he looked really good in his first game. Didn't do anything on the score sheet, but took faceoffs, won five of them, didn't look intimidated at all, looked like a guy who's, you know, feels like he belongs here and he's ready to stick here for a while.
Yeah, and Juracek, you brought that up. You know, big kid, they brought over in a trade. But the concern is, and this stands out, and I've watched a fair amount of hockey and called hockey games and that sort of thing. The knock was is that he needs to work on his skating. That's got to be on some level of concern.
Yeah, and that's still an issue. And then John Hines has talked about this. There have been some decisions he's made with the puck where you go, oh, no, you can't be doing that. And we saw that, sadly, in game one, you know, kind of a touch pass right in front of your own net, the stuff they teach you not to do when you're first starting out in hockey. He tries to do, just kind of a casual pass, puts it right on the tape of Robert Thomas, who's probably the most dangerous player on the Blues, and Philippe Gustafson bailed him out. And you talk about everything going right in game one, Steve. How about Philippe Gustafson, you know, just kind of quietly goes about his business, gets a shutout, not allowing any rebounds, you know, swallowing everything coming his way, especially in the second period, where at one point in the second period, the shots were 14-0 for St. Louis. You know, they looked like a team absolutely prepared to take over the game, take over all the momentum, and Gustafson just gave him nothing. And that's exactly what you want for a guy who's just signed to a long-term contract extension and looks like he's going to be the number one goalie of the future for a while here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jet Smyers joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press online at TwinCities.com, and he's so generous with his time here on CCO. Once again, Columbus in town tonight for the home opener and all the festivities. And I did mention the traffic, and that is no joke. With closures on I-94 just west of downtown St. Paul, plan ahead, get there early, if you will. It could be a challenge.
Yeah, this would be one of those nights, too. Like I say, perfect weather. A lot of places right around Grand Casino Arena that have outdoor patios where you can go, you know, get a beverage before the game and sit in the sun and get excited for the game. So, yeah, if you have a chance to leave early, tonight would be one of those nights you definitely want to do it. We asked Jacques Lemaire, you know, you're back in town. What was the first thing you had to do? What were you excited to do back in Minnesota? Like any good Minnesota hockey fan, he said, "Well, we went to Tom Reed." So, you know, that's what all of them want to do. That's what you do for a reunion tour. And I'll say too, last night got an off night for the Gopher hockey team. I saw I want to say at least five or six members of the team and general manager Bill Guerin were all at the Gopher hockey game last night. You know, Billy Guerin and Matt Boldy, both Boston College guys, so they went to see their Eagles play. And, what do you do on your night off from hockey? You go watch more hockey.
Yeah, why not get in the habit early? A little bit about this Columbus club coming in. What are the expectations for them this season?
Kind of a hard-charging team, you know, the name that Gopher fans especially will remember, Adam Fantilli. He had that fantastic season at Michigan a couple years ago, won the Hobey Baker Award, still controversial, by the way, among some Gopher fans who think should have gone to Matthew Nyes or maybe Logan Cooley that year. Those were the three finalists for the Hobey. You know, Fantilli is kind of where it all starts for them. And then Dean Evason is their coach. You know, he coached the Wild for, what, at least a couple of years. So a familiar face there behind the bench in Columbus. They're a team that, you know, we just keep waiting for them to have that breakout year where they put it all together. They just haven't seemed to do it yet in Columbus. Part of that same expansion class with the Wild came in 25 years ago, and it would be hard to argue, you know, which one of those franchises has been more successful. But I think, you know, I think the argument is for Minnesota just because such a strong fan base and you know, such a big following here in the state of hockey.
And, Jess, we mentioned Wild fans just two here on the homestand, and then a long road trip coming up. They'll visit Dallas and then head out east. So the Kings here Monday and then the road trip.
Yeah, then Stars on the road, then the Capitals on the road, yep. Then the Flyers on the road, then the Rangers on the road, then the Devils on the road. So I'll be packing a bag for about a 7-day trip. Just talked to a friend of mine in New York City, and I said, "Hey, you have laundry in your apartment, don't you? I might need to stop by for a little help on an extended road trip." But yeah, you know, this is similar to last year where they went on the road. It seemed like after one or two home games, they went on the road for pretty much all of October. Got a great start out of the blocks. And one thing the guys said to a T is they were a little shocked a year ago by the strenuous nature of training camp under John Hines. And they kind of knew what they were getting a little bit more this year. And, you know, Ryan Hartman said, when you're skating in the summer, you have a tendency to do a couple more down and backs because you know it's going to be tough once you get to training camp under John Hines. But that helped them get off to that great start as well. So they're obviously hoping for a repeat this year.
Yeah, so the win over the Blues, they get Columbus tonight, then the LA Kings on Monday night. Tough back-to-back, though, in Big D, and that is always a test. And then they followed up with a back-to-back on the road against the Caps and the Flyers.
Yeah, and that Caps team, apparently they've got some Russian guy who scores a lot of goals. So they
I've heard of him.
That's always a tough one. I'm really interested to see what they'll look like come Tuesday night in Dallas. It's a late start. It's an 8:30 p.m. start for TV purposes in Dallas, but that's going to be such a measuring stick because there's such high expectations for this Stars team this year.
Yeah, and we'll get a chance to see the other goalie, I would assume, a couple of times on this trip for sure.
Yeah, I would think Jesper Wallstedt will find his way into the mix. You know, the coaches generally don't like to think about goaltending. They like to just plug one guy in there and let it go, but they've got a great goaltending coaching staff here in Minnesota, and they have every bit of confidence in Jesper Wallstedt that he's going to be, you know, not the number one goalie, but a 1A, as close as you can get to Filip Gustavsson, now kind of clearly taking over the number one role.
Gustavsson tonight, and then how do you think they go Monday, Tuesday in that? Are they going to split it up?
I would not be surprised to maybe see Wallstedt mixed in on Monday at home and then go back to Gustavsson for the Tuesday night, the game in Dallas, you know, national TV, all of that. But I'm not an expert on what they're going to, you know, how they're going to handle the goalie situation this year. And frankly, this early in the season, Filip Gustavsson could just say, "Hey, that's my net. I feel fine. You know, this is what you're paying for me. Give me every game you can."
All right. And then final thought about tonight. Will Craig Leopold have people in his suite at center ice tonight because it is the 25th anniversary? You know, will he allow Jacques and Mario Tremblay to sit with him?
You know, they've been trying to sell suites, so there have been a few suites open, and you wonder if maybe they'll get those sold tonight, and that would mean all of the dignitaries would be crowded into the owner's suite right there at center ice.
Okay.
But, you know, the one thing we've learned about Craig Leopold, you don't talk to him while the game is on. You know,
I know.
It's not a place where he goes to be casual and have chit-chat and all of that. When the puck is dropped, he is maybe one of the more intense owners out there. He's paying rapt attention to the game, and you don't try and make small talk at that moment.
But you would think if anybody could grab a seat next to Craig tonight, it would be Jacques and Mario. I mean, they're hockey royalty for sure.
You know, the thing I love too, talking to Jacques Lemaire today, and you know, I'll have a piece on him later in the weekend in the Pioneer Press about kind of his return to Minnesota and his memories here. But you got to love the French Canadian accent, man. If anything says hockey more than some guy who pronounces it hockey, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Just so much fun listening to him, hearing his memories of those early teams, and you know, teams with not a ton of talent, but they found a way to play together and made that run to the Western Conference Final in 2003. And lo and behold, you know, here we are, 25th year of the franchise. They haven't made it that far since then. So obviously he had something clicking.
Did he talk about the guys?
he talked about the guys a lot. Yep.
Yeah.
It's fun when you get coaches and the little verbal quirks they have, you know, when Todd Richards was here, he would always talk about how he liked the way the guys battled. He thought we battled every night. We battled. And you know,
yeah. So,
Coaches get those little unique sayings, and that was definitely Jacques when he talked about the guys.
Yeah, for sure. Just a legend, and it's cool that he's in town. Jess, always great. Opening night tonight in St. Paul. It'll be the Wild and the Blue Jackets. Drop the puck just after 7 o'clock tonight. Thanks.
Thanks. Always good to talk hockey.
There he is, Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, and his work online as well. at TwinCities.com, and a great follow if you're on X, for sure. It is 4:32. We'll have the weather. College football final gets started. We have a ton of finals around the area. We'll have the Big Ten. We'll have the top 25. College football final coming up.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.